This is the Capture Your 365 podcast, the podcast about everyday photography for everyday photographers. This is episode number 29, 10 ways to frame subjects.
Welcome to the Capture Your 365 podcast. This is Katrina Kennedy. I am excited to be here today for a mini podcast with the lovely Kelly Buss. Hello, Kelly.
Hey, Katrina, how are you?
I am doing really, really well. And you Good. Know, as is tradition, how's the weather?
Oh, it's nice. We have nice days right now for August. So
what does that mean, nice?
It means the humidity's down.
Oh, okay.
So it's not, it's still too high for you, I'm sure. But instead of, you know, 70% and 98 degrees with 105 heat index, it's like 84 degrees with maybe 50% humidity. So it's nice.
Yeah, that is that is more humidity than I'm used to. We, in fact, we had a day recently with this crazy cloud cover, and it felt very humid. And I checked, and it was at 35%.
Yeah, yeah. The day you sent me that, and you said, "Hey, it feels like Kansas weather," and I'm like, "No, no, I don't know when it's 33% humidity, at least in eastern Kansas, maybe western." But
yeah. So I'm spoiled.
It's funny.
I'm spoiled. Yeah. Although it is going to be 100 degrees this weekend, so that's no fun.
Yeah.
But the humidity's low.
Hot is hot. So
hot is hot. Exactly. Hot is hot. Exactly. All right. So Kelly, have you ever done Week in the Life, Allie Edwards Week in the Life?
I have. I have done it, although I think I technically have only finished it maybe once. And then I'm not even sure if I got my pictures all put into anything particular. I just took a bunch of pictures, and then I think I just kind of ended up absorbing the best of them into my project life. But for some reason this year, it's really, really inviting to me. And I bought her kit, and I've already got the kit all in the, I've already got the kit all laid out, and I've already made notes, and I've put timer on my phone to remind me. So I am game this year to go all out for it.
Wow. How about you? You are all in. You are all in.
If I'm not all in, I probably fall off by like Wednesday. So that's why this year I'm like, I am all in, baby, all the way.
Fair enough. So I am a huge fan of Allie Edwards' Week in the Life project. For those of you who don't know, it is 7 days of documenting your daily activities, documenting what you do in the week. And I love it because it gives me an opportunity to take my photo a day one step further and really get the details and events that are happening in my life. And I've followed it, since maybe 2008. I have two complete books that I love, and I just wrote about on the blog some scrapbook pages that I found from 2 years ago that I don't even remember doing. I know, is that crazy? So I have like almost a complete book of my 2012, I think it's 2012 or 2013, Week in the Life that just needs to be printed. Wild. Yeah. So I'm all in this year. I'm not as in as you. I didn't buy the kit. I will do mine all digitally because that just works best for me.
Right.
I'm trying to get my head around the fact that I am traveling for 4 days to do some training out of the area. But I am traveling with my husband and with Ian. So we'll be together as a family, but our week in the life is going to look really different since we won't be home for most of the week.
Right. Definitely. Yeah. And my struggle with it is I am week in the life. I'm kind of just going with week in my life because I have too many kiddos to really try to capture a week of the life of seven. You know, I just, it overwhelms me. And so I will take a lot of pictures. I'm not like I'm trying to capture. It's what I'm doing. Where am I at? Not necessarily where the kids are because I just.
That's a lot.
I just can't even keep up with it in my own life, let alone try to take pictures of it right now. But so it's kind of week in my life is what it is.
I love that approach. I love that because that's, you know, who you are with all day.
Yeah.
But you also do a fabulous job of taking photos of yourself. You've gotten really good at it, I think.
Well, you know, that kind of was one of my goals. I guess it was last year. That was the first year we had the self portrait prompt. And then this year we did it again with the 2015 prompts. And I actually signed up for several of the prompts and made myself take fresh new pictures. And it's been a real growing process. And yeah, so
that's awesome.
We'll see.
That's awesome. And that is also kind of the topic of our podcast today. You and I have come up with a list of 10 subjects that we are going to probably find in our frame next week during Week in Life. And we're going to talk about how to go about photographing them. And I love that we did this, that you gave me some and I gave you some.
Yeah, that was fun. It was fun to think about you and to think about what do I see you take pictures of regularly, mm-hmm. and to try to pick those things, you know, to think about what do I know about you?
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. That I like that. When I saw your list, I'm like, oh yeah, she does know me.
She knows me.
All right. So we're going to kick it off with one of my favorite things. In fact, I was recently on the Paper Clipping Roundtable podcast, and Noelle, the host, said, Katrina, you take a lot of photos of food. And I thought, you know, I thought about it and I realized I had never even noticed how much food comes up for me.
Yeah.
Until I looked through my Instagram account and it's like, oh, there's a lot of food.
Well, you know, you only have one kiddo and he's moving past that stage where you want to take pictures of him kind of all the time.
Right.
So,
right.
You know. Yeah. The next area is food.
Exactly. I like to eat. Food is good. You know, it's a necessity in our life that affords us many opportunities for photos. So I'm going to kick us off with how to frame a dinner plate, because that's one of my favorite food photos is when you've got preferably a white plate with your food on it. And my favorite way to frame it is directly from above so that you're looking down on the plate, but then only include a half of the plate in the frame. I think it looks awesome square. So you end up with nice negative space that has that beautiful curve in it. And it also looks good in a traditional portrait format as well. There's just something about that down at it. You get great texture. You get a little bit of layering. It looks good for me. So that is how I would go about framing a dinner plate. Although you've got about 17 other ways you could as well, without a doubt. So that's my number one. Kelly, what's yours?
Mine is a child playing a game on the floor. We have a lot of game playing in our house, and I do take a lot of pictures of this. And I think, same like you, from above. And until I got my full frame Canon 5D, I often had to stand on a chair. And so I would. They'd be playing on the floor. I'd bring over a chair or my little step stool that we kept in the bathroom that kids, you know, used to reach the sink with, the mm-hmm. little guys. And I would grab that and get just high enough just to get above them enough to look at that straight shot down. Everybody's in the picture. You get the great color of the board game usually. And the carpet is chill, you know, so you kind of get this nice background against it instead of from the side where you get crazy everything else in the frame.
Yeah. So. You know, so it's funny. Yeah. I kind of differ with you on this one. I love the above, but I am a fan of getting my belly on the ground and getting right at their eye level. I love that. I love that. Which just shows you there's always more than one way. Always more than one way.
Well, that's one of my answers for a different one. But for game playing, I think I usually like to look down.
All right. Sorry to steal it.
That's okay. So what's your next one?
Okay. So my next is a photo that I love to take. And that is an adult and a child reading a book at bedtime. Preferably like, you know, sitting next to each other. I don't set this up, you know, like just finding them there. And usually with a lamp that is on the nightstand next to them. And then just getting that little bit of light on them and taking it either at eye level, but I didn't say eye level. That's not really what I mean. That's not really what I want. Is slightly above that. So almost at my standing. I'm 5'3", so I'm not that tall. But so that you're kind of looking down and at an angle. And I like to shoot that one close up, you know, so that you get their faces, you get the book. You get the maybe a little bit of the bed, but not much. That can be a tricky one if your subjects aren't cooperative. But my son and husband both know, like, oh, it's hard with the camera again. Yeah. And so they ignore me. And that, which gives me the exact photo that I'm looking for. As long as they're ignoring me, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. This one is a hard one for me to get because, again, I have a few more kiddos.
Right.
And so they're all, JD does read to them every night, but he sits in kind of a rocking chair in the three youngest boys' bedroom, and they're all in their beds. And so they're spread out.
Right.
So it's a completely different, you know, aspect. And I haven't ever really played about trying to capture that.
So. Yeah. I wonder if you could do that wide angle so you just kind of get him and make him prominent, but then you've got them in their beds.
Right.
That tells such a cool story. And
I'm going to have to try that. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I like that idea a lot. Yeah. It is funny, the dynamic of one child versus many children, how much that changes our photography.
It really does. I mean, it definitely adds a different layer of just things that you're looking at in the picture. You know, I know one thing that you love to do is to really isolate the subject. Well, when you have two or three subjects, they become one, but it's harder to isolate them together from everything else.
You know? Right, right. I've seen you take a couple of photos where they're sitting in a chair and JD will be in the center, and then your kids are kind of around him in layers.
Right.
And I love that because they're all so close and tight. And so, like you said, they do become one subject. And especially when they're all really engaged with him, which that has to be a greater feat than anything that I'm doing with two people. I love that. I love that connection. And there's just something about a father connecting with his children that's just awesome. I just really like that.
Yes.
So, Kelly, speaking of things that are different in our lives, when I saw you, when I put this one on the list, I laughed and I told my husband, I'm like, this isn't even something I do. So, so the next on your list is, you were going to read that, and here I am saying it, but
that's
this is one I gave you.
You set it up. Yeah, keep going.
Right, right. Ironing clothes. Or like household chores in general, because you're pretty good at grabbing the household chore photo. I think, one, you do more household chores than I do.
That's me, domesticated Kelly.
That's not what I meant.
I know, I'm just teasing. I'm teasing.
How do you go about that? Goodness. What are you looking for? How do you frame it?
Oh, well, usually when I'm doing like a household chore type, or like yesterday when I did an ironing picture, I'm usually looking for a wide angle that tells the whole story. You know, so yesterday I thought, oh, I'm ironing, I'm listening to a podcast, I'm going to take a picture of it. This is what I'm doing. And I just had my iPhone with me, and I was too lazy to go get my 5D. So I put my iPhone on the windowsill and had it, you know, with the front face camera, but then so I could see what it was framing, and I was just kind of looking, where am I framed? And I wanted to show the picture, the more details. So like in this particular picture, there are clothes hanging from the door frame. You can see stuff on the wall because it's in the laundry room, you know, which is, who knows what's in the laundry room. You can see stuff on the counter. You can see my coffee cup, all that kind of stuff. That's usually what I'm aiming for, is one of those really kind of detailed shots of not isolating the subject. It's clear I want you to look at me, but then you go, oh, look, she's got like 10 shirts there. She must not iron very often, which I don't, because we don't wear a lot of ironing clothes. So it's usually, you know, about once every 6 to 8 weeks, I go, oh, there's like 10 things in there I should iron, you know, or
I saw the little shirts.
Yeah.
I loved the little shirts on the rack behind you.
Yeah.
And I saw those and I thought, she ironed her little people's clothes too.
There's no little shirts there. You go back and look, because the littlest shirt is Jacob's shirt, and he's 15 and taller.
Okay.
Think it must just be a perspective. Since they're all mine, Jacob's or JD's shirts.
Okay. I feel better because I was like, those are little shirts.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
It must have just been angled.
Shirts that my little boys have that need to be ironed, but usually I just do collar and like buttons, you know, like just the edge. I don't worry about every wrinkle, but and they only get to wear them when they beg. They're like, please, I really want to wear this shirt.
Oh, that's too cute. Oh my goodness.
So anyway, I just, like I said, for those kind of chores, well, I've taken me doing the bathtub, me doing dishes, you know, and stuff like that. I usually am looking for details, like what extra stuff, not just me. And then, because it is a self-portrait, I do kind of make, try to, I mean, I looked pretty scary yesterday. My hair is like a crazy rat's nest, but I kind of worry about my chin, or I worry about my muffin top, you know, and I just try to make sure I'm standing in such a way that maybe it's not quite as bad as it could be, if you know what I mean. So
I do know what you mean. Like, your muffin top is nothing.
Well, let's just go to the next one. What's yours?
On that note. my next one is a favorite restaurant, you know, here, keeping with the food theme. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of places in town that, you know, we love as a family. We go to them on a fairly regular basis because I have one child. I can do that.
Right.
And my favorite way, in fact, I have this one photo that comes to mind that is absolutely one of my favorite top 10 photos of all time. Is a wide angle again. It's interesting to me, like, how much wide angle comes up when we talk about Week in the Life. It's a wide angle photo from across the street of a favorite restaurant at night, where I set my camera on the car to keep it steady and took a photo looking in. So there are lots of windows. And you can see people. You can't really distinguish who they are, but you can see people inside. And it gives you this great view of, like, this location. So my family's not in it in any way. It is just the restaurant. And it just gives you this view of, like, this is this awesome place. And it is a favorite photo for me to frame, because so often restaurants that we love, locations that we love, go away. And so if you've got that big view, then I now forever have that memory. And I love that. I love that. The place, this is totally an aside, the place that my husband and I went out to dinner on the night he asked me to marry him, it closed 6 months later. Gone. And so I think, you know, that was on August 14th. That will be 20 years ago. And I think that drives my need to take that wide angle photo of places we love. And, you know, across the street, if you got a little bit of traffic going, that's okay. Especially if you use a slow shutter speed, you can get a little bit of movement, which is kind of cool. But, you know, I go for that big picture so you really see it. I like to have the name in the photo somewhere so that you see that as well. And I've taken that in outside looking in photo from several of our favorite restaurants, or even like special places that we go. And I just love having that little bit of documentary evidence. So there's mine. Let's move from the restaurant to the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time in the pool. And, you know, when I'm looking in the pool, went and looked at a lot of my pictures from the pool, and I am all about action, and because, you know, got the boys. And right. So I'm all about the big splash. So I know where I want to sit most of the time because I know where the sun is. You know, it's always in the same spot at the same time of day. It's pretty easy to predict. So I have a certain spot that I sit in, and we have the jumping rock. And that's usually where I sit. And as my kids have gotten bigger, obviously the splash gets bigger. And so they laugh at me because, you know, I take a picture, and as the splash comes, I'm like turning my camera away from them. My camera is, you know, water resistant because I've got one of those, you know, the 5D or whatever. So a little bit of splash isn't going to hurt it. But if the lens is covered, then I have to stop, dry the lens off, start all over again, you know, make sure it's clean. But I've gotten it down to where, you know, I'm looking for usually kind of either right as they're hitting the water. So we have a big splash, but their face isn't under yet. Or I'm looking for when they come back up and they kind of, you know, pull the water up with them.
Nice.
So yeah, because I really like to freeze that action. You know, the water droplets are awesome in a picture. You know, they just create so much texture. And, you know, depending on where the sun is, you either get these bright, bright highlights and shine and flash. Or if the sun's kind of behind it, you get this cool backlit, not really rainbow, but, you know, kind of you get this little color sometimes added to it. And so it's just really fun. So usually I'm sitting right down on the edge of the pool, eye level with them, so I can get that great splash.
Yeah. So you almost end up in some instances that you're below, slightly below them if yeah. they're jumping in, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And sometimes I have been known, like what you said, to get on my belly, but I have a harder time moving away from the splash.
Right.
And I get wetter.
Stakes are higher.
Yeah. I've really been wanting to get one of those, what is it, the life proof cases or whatever it is that you can put your phone in so I could not have to worry about it and even maybe do some underwater shots, but I just haven't put the money into it yet.
Yeah. That would be a lot of fun. That would be a lot of fun.
Or GoPro. But I'm kind of like a GoPro just for the pool. Eh. I mean, I know I could use them a lot of other places, but I don't know if I would, you know?
Right. So I'm like, Right. They have the new more or less expensive GoPro too as an option. Yeah. We have a kind of a knockoff GoPro that we bought for Ian so he could do stuff with it. And it's fun. He loves it. He absolutely loves it. So awesome. So next, let's head to the garden, a garden veggie. Like, did you put that on my list, Kelly?
I did. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's like, you know me. I don't take pictures of garden veggies.
Yeah, I bet we could just stop here and everybody could just write in the comments what you're going to say.
Right, exactly.
Because they love your garden veggie picture.
So, yeah, and I rarely take garden veggie pictures with the vegetables actually hanging in the garden.
Right.
So, you know, it'd be really like, this could be the scandal that I don't actually grow anything.
I'm faking it all.
So my favorite way to frame a garden veggie is in a colander.
Yep.
I have many of them.
Yeah.
And my mom's so stinking cute. My mom keeps giving me
More colanders.
Yeah.
So
she,
awesome.
Yeah, she thrifts for them. Yeah. And so they're different sizes, different textures, different colors. I love that. So I will take the colander and fill it kind of strategically with whatever I pick for the day. Sometimes I just go straight out, like, this is what I picked. And I take that photo. Some days, though, I will leave the uglier things out of the photo and let it just be the best of the vegetables that I pick. And I almost always take those again from above. And this year I've been including the whole colander and going square with that right in the center. I think it's one of the few things that looks really good center framed. Most often, you know, I tell people, don't put it in the center. But I think the colander looks good in the center. I will use my a deck as the background behind it. I've been using, we have a teak table that sits on the deck, and I've been using that some to give kind of a different texture. Right. And then this happened just one day. I was curious to see what I could do with it. I have some old chairs. They're actually our original dining room chairs from when we got married that I have spray painted different colors. So they're kind of bright and fun for the garden, but they've also are now very weathered.
Ah.
And so I use the chair seat that's weathered and put the colander or just individual pieces of or individual vegetables from the garden on that weathered chair, and it gives the coolest background texture.
Cool. So I have a question for you.
Sure.
Since I know that you often pick decor or things based around how you think you're going to photograph, and I know that your deck is going away and you're getting rock or tile or
brick.
Pavers.
Brick.
Something.
We're getting brick.
So did you think about that? What am I going to photograph against? What are my colanders going to look on this versus my deck?
No, because I actually have two decks.
Okay.
I have the deck that I fell through that is disintegrated, that is gone. It's actually no longer there. I have the ugliest backyard right now because I have a pile of wood that was the deck.
I see.
And I have the pile of things that came off the deck. And then I have the dirt where the deck was. It's really ugly. I don't expect it to show up in my week in the life, although maybe it should.
It should. That's what life is.
That right? is what life is, exactly. I am one that I will admit I avoid my ugly things.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't too much, but I don't.
You don't have a lot of ugly.
I didn't want to say that because that sounds really bad. But
I've been to your house.
I listened to Allie talk about that yesterday, and I am just a person that loves organization.
Right.
So if it's not organized, I can't deal with that well.
Right.
So
I love it in theory.
Yeah.
But in practice, when I like get into my work, my you can tell how busy I am by how the life around me has happened. And you know, we were laughing yesterday, had some friends over, they were in my garden, and I have like 10 wooden doors. And they were laughing. They're like, oh, you can do so many cool things with those old doors. And I'm like, I know. That's why I have them. We are the drop-off place. Like, you know, some people, like, take in stray animals. We take in stray junk.
Yeah.
Because everybody will drop it off and be like, oh, we know you'll do something cool with this.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, eventually. Someday. But until then, it's haunting my life. So I still have the deck. That's the whole point of all of this. I still have the back garden deck.
Right. So now you should expect to see deck and brick next year.
Right. And I'm pretty stinking excited about the brick because the brick will give great texture. We're using an old, it's actually called Old Sacramento brick. It's tumbled so that it looks old. I live in a brick house, so we wanted something that like kind of matched
with it. Yeah.
And it is that this particular area that I guess will go from deck to patio or whatever we want to call it. It is under shade throughout the day. So yeah, you'll end up seeing lots of brick once that goes in. Kind of excited about that. Yeah. So let's go from the outside.
Back inside
to something that I'm sure in your world is very organized.
All right, my next one is at a desk. Yeah, I have to confess, I don't like messy desks, and they don't get messy unless I'm so, so busy. And then they only stay messy for like a day at the most. And when I was a teacher, I couldn't leave a desk messy. You know, every night before I went home, everything had a place, and I had to have a clean desk in the morning to come into. I just could not stand to come into piles on my desk in the morning. And it's transferred to my real life too. So anyway, and from my desk. Okay. Yeah, or at a desk, because, you know, we homeschool. So I have kids at desks. I'm at a desk. That's just, we're always at a desk. I think one of my favorite things to do is shoot from the back. And so I don't have to worry about, you know, the face, the expression, my chin, whatever it is. You know, it's just a little easier to shoot from my back. But I try to make sure I shoot fairly straight on. And same thing with the boys, so that you can see kind of what they're doing. You know, so I might not see their expression, but I can see that hand and I can see it's writing, you know, and I can see the book that they've got spread out or the papers. And likewise, the other one I like to do a lot for me is from straight on from the front using the camera on my iMac.
So
that one's obviously the quality is not great for printing, but I'm not going to print it an 8x10. That's not what the picture's for.
Right.
You know, the picture is just a little, you know, blurb to go in a book. So
yeah, you're going to tuck it into a small space.
Right, right. But it's great because you get great light off the screen usually. It depends on, you know, what I'm looking at. Sometimes you might get a color cast. But you get that straight on look and you can kind of see what your expression looks like and you can see, you know, what your posture looks like, all that kind of stuff, instead of trying to imagine what you look like when you're pushing the self-timer button, you know, or something.
Yeah, I think you've said that a couple of times, and that I think that's so wise to really have that view of what you're going to look like, because so often I think I have tried it without being able to see, and then it's like 50 photos later, I'm still not happy with how I look because I looked funny or like I moved weird. So having that ability to actually see it is pretty smart.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just me. No.
You are.
Hello. I mean,
we love your humility.
I know. I don't take myself too seriously. Don't worry.
Those are the two that
I usually really try to get is from the back. I mean, there, of course, I try every angle, but especially with how my desks are set up with the boys, I really can't get a straight on shot from them. It kind of has to be from the back anyway. Mm-hmm. And then I don't distract them. You know, I get a little more realistic view sometimes than if I'm in front of them and they look up at me and I'm like, don't look at me. Look back down. Do your paper. Do your whatever.
And they've had the camera around them enough now that they're like, okay, we get it.
Yeah, they do.
Just another photo. Like, you're not going to get a cheesy grin. You're just going to get ambivalence, I think is what you probably get. Exactly.
Annoyed. It's like, okay, whatever. Yeah.
That's awesome. So I love the next one that you gave me. This one, I wouldn't have thought of this, which was a bicycle ride.
Yeah, which is funny because I can like picture three or four different pictures in my head of yours.
Yeah.
On a bicycle, right.
Yeah, and I have I probably have three different ways that I do it. The way that I do most often, especially now that Ian is on his own bike, I am still not a. When we bike together, we're biking typically in a bike lane, but in a fairly trafficked area of our neighborhood. There are shops and lots of people moving through our neighborhood, so it's a little busy. So I like to have him in front of me, and Shay will be in front of him, so we kind of sandwich him between us,
right?
Because he's still, you know, he's
little,
he's little, young. And he's right, he's still figuring it out, and you know, getting lots of guidance from mom and dad about, like, watch that car door, watch that light, what are you gonna do, you know, lots of that going on. So I use my camera sometimes, my DSLR, but I find that my phone is a little bit easier because it's smaller, and I will just hold it up so that you get my basket, and then you see Ian and you see Shay kind of in this awesome line, and you get the lines of the bike lane as well, and just shoot right at the basket height so you see everybody. And then if I'm feeling really brave, and I will typically do this on, I have one particular street that isn't as trafficked and has a really good designated bike lane and feels a little bit more comfortable, is I will use the front-facing camera, which one is it? Yeah, I'll use the camera where I can see myself.
Yeah,
exactly.
The front camera.
Thank you. I will use that one and hold it up, and this is when Shay and I have to switch roles, so I'm in front, he's behind Ian. I think I have one of my mom with us as well, which makes my day because she's so cute, and we keep a bike here for when she visits.
That's one of them I remember specifically. She does.
Yeah. So I held it up so I can see myself, and then wait until I can see everybody behind me, and then shoot. Sometimes it takes several to get that.
Right.
Because I'll end up with like some strange look on my face, or like, you know, I'm riding as I'm trying to do this, so it's taken some practice.
Right. And they get all of them in the frame where they're not cutting each other out or blocking one another. Yeah.
Exactly.
See, that's what's like having five kids. You're like,
right.
Okay, wait.
I get it now.
You gotta move back. Wait. Don't.
So anytime I need to feel that, I just need to hop on my bike and pedal and try to take photos. And like, this is Kelly's life right here. The other way that I like to do it, and this one is almost always a little blurry, but I can live with it and it's super fun, is when we rarely ride side by side. But when we can, I will ride beside them. This was a lot more fun when Ian was on a trailer bike behind Shay. It's become harder since they aren't on separate bikes. But just shoot without looking typically at them directly across from me. So you kind of hold the camera landscape and then shoot a couple of times and get them kind of whizzing through the frame. And it'll often have a little blur, and that's kind of cool. And for just kids, this became way more than three, huh? For kids on a bike, if I'm not riding, I like to shoot those low. So you get low, shoot up, and it kind of gives them a bigger feeling and is really fun. And those I prefer with my DSLR because it's a little bit, you know, you don't have the diciness of trying to move, of ride a bike and get the photo.
Right.
So cool stuff. So since we're on the subject of kids, Kelly, why don't you take the last one?
Yeah, kids active outside. Yeah, that's my life. We're outside all the time. So I do this a lot. And you just stole my thunder because that's what I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
Is where I get on the ground. And because it makes them look big and it makes them look like adventurers and it makes them, you know, so strong in the frame. And so you will often find me, if they're riding bikes or scooters, I'm on my belly in the driveway, avoiding chicken poop piles, of course.
Nice.
And, you know, trying to catch them coming up and down the driveway. Or if they're swinging, I'm sitting on the ground underneath them or to the side of them, anywhere to get that angle that gets them up higher. Because it's just so much more exciting, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
And creates more drama, creates more energy, and, you know, makes them look so strong. Like I said, just makes them look huge. And I love that feel when we're outside because that's who they are. They're active. They're strong. They're climbing. They're going. They're not, you know, being still at all.
So you
kind of like the pool. It's all about capturing the energy that they have.
Awesome. Yeah. So that's at least 10 ways.
I think so.
To shoot.
And there's a bunch. Yeah.
10 things. Yeah. And we could keep going. I kind of like this format. Did you?
It's kind of fun. It'd be fun to have people send us ideas, you know, and say, hey, what would you do if you were going to shoot this?
I think you should. So send us those ideas. Get them over to CaptureYour365.com. That's where you'll find the show notes for today's podcast. And, you know, lots of other goodies, too. You can find our monthly lists of prompts. You can sign up for our daily email that give you more photo ideas every day right to your inbox. So with that, Kelly, thanks for being here.
Yeah, I love it. It's always so much fun.
Yeah, good to talk to you.
Yeah.
And with that, have a great, great... have a great life. Maybe I should have Maybe I should have a contest for somebody to actually write my outro, you know, like how I get out of here. Because I never get out of here easily. So thank you for listening to the Capture 365 podcast. If you are taking part in Week in the Life, share with us in the show notes so that we can look you up. And you can find us over on Instagram at Capture365. And tag your photos CY365 so that we can see them and maybe you can get a chance at being featured on our Instagram account. So once again, thank you. I think I said thank you four times, huh? I really do need to have somebody write this outro. But with that, thank you for being part of the Capture 365 community.